This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You can get on the air 434-1790 or send your WhatsApp 266-4862. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning to you, Corey.
Hey, good morning, sir.
How are you doing?
Could be a little better, but I'm feeling pretty okay, man. I feel a little chesty, but outside of that, fired up and ready to go.
Wonderful. Now, I'll have a listen to the Governor Central Bank. It is clear, Corey, that we have to do a number of things in order to get the country back on track. As I said before, I'm not insensitive to those persons who may suffer from the consequences of any fallout. By the end of the day, Corey, we can't deal with 20-1 and 30-1 and 130-1. We can't deal with that. So if the route is trying to stave off devaluation and some sacrifice has to be made, that's fine with me. And I think that all and sundry should understand that. But the reason
I don't want to take you off your point. With that said, though, you don't believe that it could have been done much, much better?
Yeah, but of course. That's why the reason why I called.
Mm-hmm.
But two things that prompt me to call you this morning.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Haven't heard a caller made the point to you about crime will be increased at the high levels of retrenchment. I beg to differ. Because I was searching for the notes and just cannot find them because I wanted to refer to them, right? Where in 2002, I think it is, or 2003, unemployment stood in this country between 6 and 7%, right? Mm-hmm. And the government was doing extremely well, the government of the day, right? And the highest murders recorded for that year was, I think it was 38 or 39. I was looking for the information, but just could not get my hands on it, right? So for me now to believe that because 1,500 public servants will go home, that you can got this high increase in crime, somebody will need to explain to me how you know, bring some statistics to prove to me that this is the case, if you understand what I'm saying.
Right, I understand. When he talked about it, I searched for Argentina. Argentina actually have a crime and safety report. They spoke more towards like road deaths and so on. Funny, not crime itself. But someone made the point on the WhatsApp that we could look closer home to places like mm-hmm. Grenada and St. Kitts and so on. And we'll see mm-hmm. we maintain a pretty steady crime rate across the region of persons who actually engage the IMF. So it's just a matter of people, some with agendas that just may want to be pessimistic, but it's something that we shouldn't actually keep or take our eye off of as well. We need to put things in place to ensure that we can also maintain a level of safety and security in the face of people actually becoming a little bit more desperate as times get a little bit more difficult.
I can agree with you more, and I want to make the point before going to the other second point is this. I don't know if you have heard it, but there was a voice note circulating on WhatsApp, social media platform, with the voice of a gentleman likening the high retrenchment, the 1,500 public servants going home, to the 1937 wrecks. I don't know if you have heard that voice note.
Yes.
I want to set the person on notice this morning. That is inciting violence, you know, under the Computer Misuse Act. I hope that the person understands that that's inciting violence in this country, right? And that he has no evidence to suggest that this will be the case, but yet proceed to send across a voice note giving the impression that the country will become unstable as it relates to the, crime activity. This is a serious thing. I mean, if you don't like the government, say so, but don't be out there trying to incite violence in the country. You understand? That's the point I want to make. And with the retrenchment program, Corey, I think that the government, this is what I think, believe that the government, and this is to answer the question that you would ask earlier. I think when the government made a conscious decision to decide that they will retrench public servants, I believe that all the parties, you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
To all that will be handling the process of issuing letters to those persons who were identified to be retrenched, that the government should have took the initiative to bring these individuals into a breakfast meeting and sit with them and explain how they want this program to to be rolled out. In other words, all heads of departments, whoever those would be, government bring them in and say, listen, this is our approach. This is what I want done. So any department that would have fallen short of the instructions given, then the government will decide, whoever the minister responsible to the ministry will decide how they will approach the situation relative to the person who would fall outside of the instructions that was given. You follow me or you're following
me? Let me jump in. The insight thing, I don't know how that's inciting, because I listen to that and to me I just see it as some person's opinion, right? Mm-hmm. But we can move on from that. No reason to have to split hairs on that one.
Right.
In relation to the process, now this is where it gets some difficulty sometimes. You or if they take the people to this breakfast meeting, as you call it, right? And at the end of the day, there is still not a favorable resolution in relation to even just having the money ready. It is tantamount to the same thing that you describe and criticize when some people take some people up by Saloid, sir, by Sheraton Center, and give them some food and, as you call it, hand cutters and all kind of thing. And the people left there without anything. It would be the same thing. What would be the difference?
I'm happy that you've asked me that question. The difference simply would be that when the government is seeking to have the breakfast meeting or what have you with the heads department, that they will do so when they are in a position and know that, the persons have already been identified, two, checks have already started to be printed for these individuals who were identified and that type of thing. So that when you sit with these individuals in the breakfast meeting, you are ahead of your game.
But let me tell you this. Let me hear you answer, because I raised similar concerns with some persons. And let me hear you answer what they say to me. They said, if we were to do all of that, we would be unable to meet our December IMF targets. How do you respond to that retort?
So you mean the Prime Minister got the power to execute a task that she won't execute in this country, Corey? That's exactly what you said to me.
It would be surprising, but it seemed to be true. I have some certain knowledge that can be the case in Caribbean Westminster structure, although they're more powerful than the normal. Let me understand. The evidence is there for you, you know. The Prime Minister said on, I think it was the Sunday, and that no one will be going home without a check. The process will be X, Y, Z. And by Wednesday, Thursday, there were people complaining that they were going home without a check. So that answers your own query, as opposed to in relation to the fact that, yes, people, the Prime Minister cannot have total control over the process. Because I have an idea how I believe the process should be handled. You have an idea.
But Corey, the point I am making, this is the point. I don't want them to miss the point.
Yes.
The point I am making, Corey, is that time is the essence here. Mm-hmm. Now, the main fact that a conscious decision would have been made to retrench these individuals, all I am saying is that use your time wisely to have all of these things put in place before you bring these individuals. Obviously, the unions will have to be on board to ensure that there won't be no hiccups in the process, right? And then seek to roll out the process, and you would meet the time, you understand me, the deadline for any IMF requirements that was upon you. That's the point I'm making. So time has to be the essence. So, I mean, you don't seek to roll out the program, and then in the midst of rolling the program, you recognize that you made blunders here and there. So I am saying that if in June you have made a conscious decision that this is what you have to do, you find out what is the time from whatever departments that has to print these checks. What is the process here with the checks? How long do you take to process a check? When we take normally 7 working days to process a check, you factor that into your time. You factor in how long does a letter take to write to Joe Blow to inform him that he will not be. Will a letter normally take 3 days? You factor that into your.
Well, we shouldn't even be dealing with normally. We should be dealing with what's the ideal and what's possible, because civil service time may not be the most or the best and the most professional time to go off of. If it literally takes, let's say, 3 days, but you're accustomed to taking 2 weeks, we ain't dealing with the norm. Let's get down to business. Let's be professional. Someone here in WhatsApp is asking, is there a nice way to discard people? Or let's change the word discard here. Is there a nice way to lay off people? Even better would be not having to lay off civil service in the first first place. There is a better way. There is a nicer way to lay off people. I think that if you can have discussions with, and let's open up this discussion, because all I've been hearing as I move around Barbados, I remember I was in an establishment this week, and I had to take my food and go and eat it in the car, because every Joe Blow coming up to me like I lay off somebody, I laying off anybody. But let me tell you this, right? People tell me that the government could not have given people a month's notice and so on, simply because they'd be fearful of things like sabotage and all these different things. And I said, no, we are not a wild rabbit people.
No, I agree.
People can have discussions with people. You can let go with the voluntary people. You can sit with the others. You can explain to them, look, this is what will happen. This is how we're doing it. We have to do this. The option of not laying off anyone in first place is a non-starter. Because when the figures were presented by Dr. Greenidge, we got to understand, listen, we can either do it this way, or we can do a devaluation, or we can, what was the other thing we have to say, 10,000 people. No, those things are not options. So I think we are taking the best option. Painful? Yes. Necessary? Yes. But there is a better way to do it. Have the people checks ready. Have a little counseling on standby for the people. Talk to the people in advance. Have the letter do the things properly, man. To call it. You see, the people managing the process is human and they should be humane. Therefore, they should have had the discussions with the people and have the people's instruments ready. I stand by that.
But Corey, the point I want to make to you, right? The reason why I decided that I felt the government should have gone in that direction is that we must understand that this country is divided into persons associating themselves with parties, and that the person to whom any assignment might be given to execute the retrenchment task may not be one of yours.
That is realistic, but that's unacceptable at the same time. And what is also unacceptable is, you see, we had a problem with management before, and our problem continues, you know, is that when people go against what is supposed to happen, the breach, insubordination, and so on, is somebody writing up these people? Is a record being taken so that when the day of reckoning comes and you have to go before a tribunal or you go before a court, there's documentation that no lawyer, no union or anything can save you, nor, and this is more important, my and your taxpayers have to pay out for wrongful dismissal. That is the issue I have in this country in terms of management across the board. But we're going to go here. You were on for quite a while. We're going to take another call. But before that, I want to read a couple of these WhatsApps before they get out of hand. So thank you, sir, for calling. This one says, some of these callers are so pessimistic, stoops, always negative. Where do they live? And I agree. You got to balance the positive with the negative. This one says, good morning, Corey. I don't think people are being realistic when they are looking for prices to come down. Where is the example of prices increasing because of taxes and decreasing after taxes were taken off? None that I can recall. The country has to find a way for a cost of living increase to be implemented across the board for its workers, especially the lower paid workers. I think this would help cushion some of the blows from all of these taxes. We didn't even talk about prices coming down as a whole other issue. And I think there's an expectation there. The same way that goes on, it should come down. And I agree with you. I can't recall it ever happening. I read another one. Good morning, Corey. Can you find out what is the position with the money for people that work at the electoral office for elections? The longest time we've ever waited. 5 months. Cha. Also, a little back pay. Nobody is saying anything. Call no names, please. I have no names to call, so I cannot call any names. One last one. Good morning, Corey. Can you tell me how the gas tax is collected at the gas station, how it is paid into the government? That is, who monitors what is paid to government is correct? How often is it collected? And what does the government do with the funds? Anybody in the know? Give us a call. Send us a message. Brastats, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I've listened to Brastats for many years, and it's very unfortunate that somehow the quality of callers seems to be making the program a little bit more, in a sense, weaker, and you have to do a lot more sieving at the end of the program to be educated about anything. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes, go ahead. I'm listening to you.
Yeah. You know, when I heard the is the press conference from Ms. Motley, our Prime Minister, on the evening when she first spoke about the economy. I was at a funeral then. A tear dropped from my eyes to see that I was burying some friend, and Barbara seems to be on the way to be buried. And at the same time, I was made unemployed immediately the day after the election. It has nothing to do with politics, though, that he's part of anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I find that people are very insensitive about this whole thing. We have to make a sacrifice to make this country better. That's no doubt about it. But you still cannot believe or expect that everyone is going to just say, okay, yes, no problem. There are some people who are going to complain about the taxes because, one, there are some people who don't intend to make a sacrifice for nobody. There are some people who are going to complain because it really is hard hurting them, like myself, but I'm not going to show hard.
Mm-hmm.
My only problem is, and I heard you raise it already, so I won't go into that, but the 150 on the water bill. My water bill, I would pay $100, and that will last me for 3 months with $11 credit.
Whoa.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm paying $100 still, but that's only 1 month, and with $25 credit. You see the difference?
Yes.
So I know I got to make a sacrifice. I'm still unemployed, and I got to fight cut ways. As I said, I cut my television thing. I removed the television, removed the cell phone. I only got a cell phone, now on the internet. I don't know what's a cut. But day in, day out, and I don't really want to come on the program to bash for work or any callers or anything, so because you got various callers, you got various moderators.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when Mr. Wickham speak about atheists and not having God, there's no God and this kind of thing, I sometimes got to kind of want to agree with them sometimes because the caller who was previously before, I've heard him banging this issue about the going home thing since last week. And up to now, he haven't made a humane statement pertaining to it. And he's switching now from this last week. Now he's coming about the devaluation of the dollar. We all know he's going to make a sacrifice, but the way things were done.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Moderator, sir, I walked into an office last week, 5 minutes after he spoke about the same race, and I want people that the Prime Minister said this and said that. Yes, the Prime Minister might have said this and that, but it wasn't done the way how she said it.
Right.
And I put him on two government workers, literally in tears, when I went to them. I said, I can give it a minute, I can wait. I got time, I'm unemployed. The lady said someone just came and told her, you going home from tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that. The lady said, I don't know what to do. I got a headache, instant headache. The other lady was trying to console her. She said, well, I ain't going home the next day after. There wasn't a letter or nothing. There's some real things that happened out there. Maybe not what the Prime Minister wanted, but it's happening. And you got to be sympathetic with the people. You just can't come every day with this nonsense. And this guy just come every day with this ignorance all the time. And surprisingly, you all allow him to go on for a very, very long time. But this whole rubbish all the time. And you think about the professed Christianity. Anyway, my main thing is this.
But before you continue, I you see, my thing is, right, sometimes, yes, people may have the opinion that some people they're talking rubbish, right? But for that is that person's opinion. And we like to let all opinions contain. Like, I let you go on. And I want to ask you, what, you're not a regular caller. And what I appreciate, persons like yourself, you would, what made you call today? Because usually what will happen is the regular callers, this is their like mainstay, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. They're national calling people. They don't only call here, no. Some of them call every station. They call the television station. They call any calling program. They're the calling people of Barbados, okay?
That is true.
But what the program needs is variety, and it needs for people like you to call. What made you call today?
Well, I wanted to call a while, but I wanted to meet Sanka.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried, and I finally was for a lot of morning. There's an hour of an hour on my cell phone. I had to ease up on that. But why I wanted to call him about, it's the same very retrenchment program I have.
Mm-hmm.
I work for a company where they said in this season they were losing about $60,000 during that period.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to send home workers. I thought about it, and I said, you know, when they're going to send home, most likely I know how the company operates. They will send home the ones that are not the favorites. And keep the favorites who are usually not the best workers. I study a program and I came up with a layoff program, but not permanent, temporary layoff program. And theoretically working it out, the program would have saved the company about $53,000 out of that $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
it was a program winner, and I believe, I don't know if it can be looked at as we want to put it aside, because he seems the person with the more economical background and so on to me, the way he speaks. I don't know. No disrespect to Mr. Johnson and all the others, because I wanted to talk to him, but Mr. Johnson also there, because I know Mr. Johnson would give his input. Mm-hmm. This is the guy, Mr. Johnson, who will speak to you every now and then about prices that works, used to work in the hotel industry.
Well, you shake anyway, your head, so in that knowledge, man. He knows who you are.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was saying that if the last thing I heard, there was a $50 million bill on wages on a monthly basis for the government. If it was a position where you could have laid off in every department, laid off a number of workers, all right? Not making sure, though, that you don't affect the operation too heavy, the daily operation of the various departments. Lay them off for a period of 2 months. Is there any possibility that you can at least cut that $50 million to about $30 million per month? Mm-hmm. Which means you'll be cutting, you having a $20 million, and over a period of 2 years, you know that's almost $500 million. Mm-hmm. Is there any possibility that could happen?
Right. How to get it done?
It costs some planning and so on, because we have to go into what we have to do at work. Is that I put it to the person who the manager first, who does the rostering and so on, because you have to roster it that at the end of the day you do not affect the daily operation. You have to hold some strain, yes, but it still wouldn't affect it. Mm-hmm. You know, understand?
Right.
But I am not an economist. I'm just a simple person.
Right. Now, I think, I think if we let all opinions contain and all ideas contain, the Barbados can only be better for it. And that's the sort of discussion I always thought that we should have here on a national calling program. That's why I think persons like yourself should call more, you know, instead of, you know, flagging me down and telling me raise this and raise that. Because a lot of people really frightened to call. And I was afraid at first too, but I think as you do it more and you get accustomed, then you can actually share your opinion and participate in national discourse, and that does service for the country. So I want to thank you for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We are back with the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Now, I want to bring in Dennis here on this. We're having a very good discussion off-air, and I like his perspective, and I would like to actually hear it here live on Brass Tacks and actually get some of the Barbadians to call in and discuss this. Dennis, over to you.
Thank you, Corey. A couple of things. One of the previous callers talked about bank fees, and it was something I was investigating over a period of time, and I gathered some information. I kept holding on to it, and I thought it was interesting to share it with you. I made reference to a joint select committee in Trinidad and Tobago. They called in the First Citizen CEO, Karen DeBarcy, and the Republic Bank Managing Director, Nigel Batiste, to provide answers about what they call the supernormal fees charged by banks. Now, they said the charges, they were asked why someone had to pay fees if they wanted to close an account within 3 months of opening it. The officer said the charges are meant to recover the costs relating to the opening of the account. Fees had to be paid to deposit a check to be cashed a few days after to cover storage costs for keeping the check, and that the bank had to find space to store a lot of checks. That was the answer.
Whoa.
They asked why a customer had to pay $25 for the statement of his account. They said the statements could be downloaded free of charge online, but if you wanted a printed copy, you should pay $25 to cover paper and mail out costs. They were asked why, if you deposited an empty envelope into an ATM machine, you had to pay $30. They said when they got an empty envelope, workers had to do an audit of all the envelopes deposited in the machine to ensure that the slip did not fall out from the empty envelope. Now, my thing, I got some comments after this that you really don't want to hear. Because having worked in a bank, right? If you go to a machine and you take out 75 envelopes, you write on a piece of paper 75 envelopes, it's signed by the second officer, you check the machine to make sure there's nothing else in there. Then the two officers write down the 75 envelopes on a piece of paper. You open it, you do the deposit. Now if you get to envelope number 70 and there's no slip in it, you've already opened all the other envelopes. There is nothing anywhere. Mm-hmm. So what audit do you have to do to find out?
What extra you have to do?
Anyhow, but okay. Mm-hmm. Customers had to pay an ATM maintenance fee. To withdraw money from your account, you pay $85 at the ATM, 85 cents at the ATM. But if you withdraw the money by the teller, the bank charges you $5. When asked why, they said there were no review of the bank fee structure since 2015. So they were asked, it seems remarkably unfair when I open the account, my 2 cents going nowhere, but your 2 cents are expanding. And they said interest was paid on deposits dependent on the liquidity in the country. And the liquidity was such that it did not support maintaining interest rates of 6 or 7 years ago. That's the answer, the question the gentleman was asking. Now, and the other one had to do with bathroom facilities, and they said the banks are old and there were no bathrooms then, but now that they're refurbishing them, they will work on the bathrooms. But anyhow, I'll leave it at the side. What I shared with you as well, that I just want to put on the table, because people are talking about what banks earn.
Correct.
The Central Bank of Barbados said that Barbadians racked up $347 million in credit card debt by the end of last year. 93% owned by individuals and households, and credit cards were about 129,000 credit cards held. Mm-hmm. Now, if 129,000 people have $347 million in debt, and the interest rate on credit cards is 13%, Barbadians are paying $45,110,000 in interest at 13% to banks. I can repeat that figure. $347 million owed by 129,000 credit card holders, paying interest on average of $45,110,000.
So the bank making
$45,110,000. Out of 129,000 people. I want to put that against figures released by the central bank that showed 1,725 pensioners, 1,729 pensioners, 25 pensioners, holding $373,483,000 in government securities. So while 129,000 people owe $347 million, 1,725 Barbadians have $373,483,000 sitting in government securities. And these are pensioners.
Yep.
I don't know if they have credit cards as well, but these are pensioners.
Mm-hmm.
And they were getting 6% interest, which is $22,408,000. You see why we have a problem in this country with unsustainable debt and why we are in the, to use the Bajan term, putter that we're in?
It's not the government, it's not the banks, it is we the people.
Anyhow, we got the regional roundup coming up. It is something I think we need to look at closely, because when we talk about banks raking in profits, and we talk about $5 for a statement or 85 cents for ATM, that's not where the money is, you know. The money is in the 129,000 credit cards that we're using for everything from travel to supermarket shopping to buying socks and shoes and living daily.
I made the point off air, Dennis, and I'll make it on air again. And I always say, you know, poverty starts in the mind. The reason that we cannot create wealth, the reason that we cannot grow as a people in terms of wealth creation is because of the way that we believe that money works. And these are the decisions that we made. Now, Why would someone, and I didn't even think about going down this line, why would someone, not even someone, 129,000 people incur debt at 13% at this rate? It is unbelievable, but that is just one aspect in the way how we approach these things from a philosophical position in our minds. How can we improve when we think, and not only think, but act like this?
It seemed attractive at the time, I suppose. Right. Regional Roundup coming up next.